called 40 Days of Love. And this morning, I just kind of want to set the stage for our study and experience that we're going to have in the next 40 days. We won't start officially till next Sunday with a message, and then we'll have our home groups, and I'll kind of go into that with you. You might want to get your outline out. Let me encourage you there. We're going to kind of go through this morning. This is very important to me. These 40-day studies have become a prayer concern for me. Years ago, our church, we would have revivals. We'd ask you to come every night for a week. We'd start on a Sunday or Monday, and we'd go all week long and have 7 o'clock service and challenge you all week long, bring in a guest preacher and have a great time. And we had that for several years, and we led those and had some great experiences with God. But just a few years ago, we started this 40 days and begin with the 40 days of purpose. And I've seen great benefit grow from this, where we spend 40 days concentrating on a single topic as a church. And we've been getting very fruitful experiences as we've done these 40-day studies. And so I begin praying about these every year. And this year I was praying and asking God what He wanted us to adventure and what us to experience. And I was really thinking about prayer. I think one of the challenges we have in our lives is prayer. We just don't pray enough. I hate to say that, but I just don't think we do. I think we get busy with our lives, and I had an idea. I was looking at an idea, and you're going to see a series coming called 60-60. And my idea was spending 60 seconds with God every 60 minutes. And so you might see that coming, and I was kind of leaning that way. But as I've been looking at our world and just my experiences, I've been thinking that, you know what, we have real poor relationship skills. I look at our world today, and I don't know about you, but I see a lot of anger. I see a lot of frustration with one another. I see people just on the edge. I mean, you say the wrong thing at work, and somebody jumps down your throat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You pull up to the stop sign, and it's your turn, and they decide they're going to go first. Yeah, I'm going to make sure I go. You go to the bank, or you go somewhere with that clerk, and she's a jerk, right? I mean, you know, and so I began thinking, you know, one of the things we really struggle with that I don't see happening today is we have really poor relationship skills. And so this study came up to my mind, and I began praying about this, and so I felt led to go with this 40 days of study on love, and it's dealing with relationships. I want to begin with a question. I want you to finish this sentence, all right? I want you to finish the sentence that goes like this. My greatest aim in life is. How would you finish that sentence? If you were to write down right now, my greatest aim in life is to make $1 million. To buy a new car. To finish school. I don't know. What is your greatest aim in life? What is that thing that you're willing to invest your time, your energy, your skills, your habits? You're willing to put all sorts of stuff aside because this is your greatest aim in life. What is that? If you were to write it down, what would you say that would be? Just to get through life? That number one thing in life, what is it for you? I want you to really think about that this morning. Because I want to tell you something. The Bible has a lot to say about that. The Bible's real clear about what should be your number one aim in life. It doesn't beat around the bush. It doesn't play games. Because most of us play a lot of games. The greatest aim in life, if you open your little folder up here and you look at that verse, it sets the tone. Let your greatest aim be what? Let love be your greatest aim. With all sorts of things in the world, all sorts of things to accomplish, all sorts of things to achieve, all sorts of things to have and accumulate in our lives, God says the number one thing to pursue in life is love. That's the most important thing you can pursue. And Jesus went around and people asked from the times of the Old Testament all the way through Jesus, they were asking, what's the greatest thing? What's the greatest thing? As a matter of fact, one day a young man came running up to Jesus and says, listen, what is the number one thing I need to do? What should be my number one goal in life? This man comes running up and says, Jesus, what should I do? What should I pursue? What should I aim for? What should I achieve in life? And Jesus looks at him and quotes from the Old Testament these two passages. Look at the scripture right here. Let love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Second, this is it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. Jesus says, listen, the greatest aim in life is to love God and to love others. That's the greatest aim in life. You know, as I've gotten older, not old yet, I've gotten older. You know what matters most in life now as I look back over life? I've been scanning pictures into my computer. I bought a scanner from Craigslist. I wanted a new one, but I couldn't get a new one, so I got one off of Craigslist. And I've been scanning some old pictures. You know, pictures that were taken back when my kids, back in the 70s, before my kids. And you know what really matters as I'm looking at these pictures? It's the relationships. It's what was going on. I remember this. I was going through these pictures I was sharing with Laura the other day. I didn't remember half the stuff we did. You know, I mean, oh yeah, we went here. I forgot all about that. We went to, you know, Universal Studios and Knott's Berry Farm, and they got pictures with Snoopy. And, you know, as I've gotten older, and I think that's one of the tragic things I've started realizing, he's right. What's really going to last? What's really going to endure in my life? I mean, is it that car that I sacrificed for and that I worked hard to buy in 1976 when I wanted that brand new Mercury Capri that I can burn gears and third gear scratch? And I mean, you know, 106 down the freeway was fun. I don't even see that car anymore. You know? What really matters? What is that aim in life? Is it that college degree that hangs on my wall that I really ignored Laura for 2 years while I went through college? You don't bring that wound back up. I don't want to deal with it on this trip, okay? Yeah. That I did. I went to work, and that was my aim. That was my purpose. What is your greatest aim in life? Jesus says, listen, your greatest aim in life is to love God and love others. I want to ask you, how are we doing? Look at our world today. Look at our life today. And how are you doing? How are we doing at loving others? How are we doing at loving God? I mean, you're going to drive home, and for most people, God is a convenience. It's not about love, it's about convenience. When it's convenient, I will be at church. When it's convenient, I'll be in small group. When it's convenient, I will go to Sunday. When it's convenient, it's not about love, it's about convenience. Am I right? But God says, love me with all your heart, all your soul. How are we doing our relationships with others? Like I say, you go to McDonald's and you go through drive-thru and they mess up the order. And then your wife gets mad at you because they didn't put the chicken sandwich in there. And it's not my fault. It's not my fault. You know, I told them, you heard me. You know, that little squawk box. You know, blame them. You get mad. The dumb people. They don't even know how to make change. They got to have a machine do it. How's our relationship? I'm serious. Think about our relationships. Come on. Look at what it says here. Look at the next scripture. And everything you do must be done in love. Everything. Everything. Does that mean when you write an email, you need to pay attention to love? Some of you probably need to tape a little thing with this verse, let everything, to your computer, so when you're typing your email, you'll know what to type. Yeah. That clerk that's a jerk that you want to yell at? The waitress that messes up your order? I think about this. I mean, when the food comes cold and you get mad, I get mad. How do we do this? I want to challenge us. I mean, here's the problem, I think. If I was to ask us this morning, are you a loving person? I don't think there's a one in here would say I'm not. Am I right? If you're not a loving person, raise your hand. I got one. All right? If you're not a loving person, most of us think we're loving people. But I want to ask you this. Are you acting like it? Do the words you use say I love? Do the words you type say I love? You know, MySpace? Yeah. You know, come on. Text message? Do they say I love? Do you get aggravated at that squawk box at McDonald's that you can't even understand what they're saying? That's why they have a screen now so you can read it. And so this is where the study's coming. See, I believe we're living in this world where I drive to work, I go to work, I get angry at them and all the people I got to deal with. If it wasn't for the people, I would be okay at work. You know, if it wasn't for my coworkers, you know, or the people that are coming in all the time that whine and complain, you know, work would be fun. Then I got to go home and I'm going to push the button, go in the garage, I don't have to deal with them anymore. Tune everybody out. Then my husband comes in, I got to listen to him or my wife. How are we doing with love? And this is what this comes from. I just look around and I just don't see people smiling anymore. Pull up to the stop sign. I challenge you. Pull up to the stop sign as you leave up here and wait for somebody to come to the corner and look at their face. Seriously. They think, oh, yeah, how are you? It's like, what's that idiot doing? How come they didn't go, right? Come on now. You know what they're going to be thinking. See, I just think we're in this experience where love doesn't matter. Let everything. Does that mean when I drive my car, I have to take love with me? I can't leave love out when I drive. Laura and I had this discussion. We didn't talk about love, but we went somewhere on, I forget what day it was, and some guy was riding a bicycle. I had the green turn light, all right? And he's riding the bicycle in the crosswalk against a green on a red light. Now, my knowledge is run him over, all right? The guy in front of me stopped, all right? And so I had to slam on my brakes, give Laura whiplash, get a lecture about whiplash. My idea was he's breaking the law. It's my turn to go. You want to hit me? You hit me, or I'm going to hit you. I mean, I got to have love when I drive. I mean, I got to be patient with a moron. Now, should I be talking like that? No. See, I can create this image out here that, oh, we're all loving people. Or I can be honest. My greatest battle with love is when I'm driving. And I'm more than willing to admit it. It says everything. Where's your greatest struggle? You know, is it that aunt, that uncle, that parent, mother, father, that brother, that sister? I mean, I'm a pastor. I hear all the stories. Oh, you know, I'm mad at my sister so-and-so and my uncle, my mom, my dad, my cousin, my coworker. I don't know. I hear all the stories. And I'm not complaining. I like to hear your stories. Entertains my day. Gives me something to pray about, too, okay? I'm serious about that. But where's the love? Everything. And everything you do must be done with love. And so I want to look at this as kind of set the stage, because one of the struggles is, how do you define love? Is that a tingly feeling you get when you're with her or him? And it just, oh man, it feels so good when I'm with him. I got this tingling in me. Is that the ocean of emotion, right? We're going to go on the love boat in the ocean of emotion. What is love, and how do we deal with love? And so I want you to just kind of follow along. We're going to kind of look at some things and kind of define love for us and what we're going to journey on the next 40 days. I put it this way. Love, I love because God loves me. I love because God loves me. See, one of the greatest challenges when we read that verse, you know, love God with all your mind, body, strength, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Getting that yourself down has to start here. Love is defined as God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. God loves me. He loves who I am. He loves me. I want you to think about that. Do you feel God loves you? Now, I want to tell you, in spite of all your, you know, think about that. In spite of Gary's driving habits, God loves him. Some of you might not love me because you're in front of me. But God loves me. Do you really understand that no matter what's happened in our lives, no matter where you're at, no matter the mistakes or even the greatness, no matter what you've achieved, no matter what you've accomplished, no matter what you have accumulated in life, God loves you. I want you to write, I got some words in here to write. I want you to write the word grace somewhere. Just write grace in there. God's unmerited favor. God isn't saying, prove yourself worthy and I will love you. Do what I told you to do and I will love you. When you clean your life up and you get things straight in your life, I will love you. Is that what God says? No. God says, I love you. While we were yet sinners, while I was still doing my thing, Jesus died for me. See, I think one of the greatest things you got to learn as we go through this is that you are loved by God. That God loves you. Have you ever felt unloved? Now, come on now, be honest. Have you ever felt that nobody cares? Now, I have, all right? Maybe you're going to sit there and be Miss Holy or Mr. Holy, I don't know. But there have been times in my life when I felt that nobody cares. Nobody understands. Nobody gets it. They just don't care. I can remember times when I was a kid, laying in bed and feeling like nobody loved me. Anybody else been there? What's nice now is, you know what? The turning point in my life came when I was 17 years old and I began going to church and I realized that God loves me. That all I have to do is be me. I don't have to fit somebody's little cubbyhole. I don't have to fit somebody's little image of Gary. That's what's so great about being pastor. You know what? I get to be pastor at First Baptist Church Light, and I get to be Gary. I don't pretend, and I don't put any fake on. I tell you the truth. When I drive, horns come out, all right? That's the truth, all right? It's a battle I got to fight. I mean, I don't say that just to blow it off. It's a battle I got to fight. But I get to be me. And to realize God loves me, even when I'm driving a car being a jerk. You know, that's the one thing I always say. I am more than willing to admit I'm a jerk. I can be. I can be a pain. Some of you have seen me do that. Maybe I've been a pain to you. I can be. But, you know, step back and go, you know what? God loves me and I need to straighten up. That's God's grace. Do you know, are you comfortable, are you assured, can you sit there this morning and say, I am loved by God and I know it. I know I am loved by God. Because he does. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I love the songs we were singing. We picked those songs for this. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's God's love and it's who he is. Look at what it says. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because, I want you to circle these three words, God is love. If you want to know God, you've got to know love. Now, it didn't say love is God because love isn't God. But God is love. He loves us. That's part of his nature. That's part of who he is. And what's so amazing is, we are created in the image of God, which means we can love. See, God loves, and he's love, and he's all about love. And I want, you know, this is one of the things we're going to have to nail down, and I really believe, because hurting people are hurting. I've heard this from somebody else. I don't remember where I read this. I don't remember where I heard it. But hurting people are hurting. You ever been hurt by people? Some people are sarcastic. Some people are mean-spirited. Some people have bad attitudes. Some people are just, their nature is just I don't know. You fill it out. The problem is they're hurting. They're hurting because they haven't been set free by God's love. I really believe that. I believe a lot of things that people strike out at, a lot of frustration, a lot of criticism, a lot of the critical spirit, boils down to a lack of the experience of the love of God. Because hurting people hurt. God is love. And so here's the challenge. I love what this verse says. How can you say you know God if you're not loving? Real simple. Your greatest aim is in life is love, and if you're not loving others, you don't know God. What kind of witness was I to that moron on the bicycle? I shouldn't call him a moron either, okay? It was a red light, all right? That means stop. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are. Red means stop. Anybody knows that. But what kind of courtesy did I show him? What kind of love did I show him? What kind of respect did I show him? If God is love, how come I'm not loving? We're going to talk about this as we go through this 40 days of study. Look at what it says here. We love because he first loved us. I told you to write the word grace down. Why don't you circle the word first here? Write it down somewhere too. God doesn't say prove it. God doesn't say show me. God says I love you. I'm going to ask you, most of us have had children, right? Or grandchildren now, and we're raising our kids, and some of you haven't had it. When you have a child, you wait till that child proves that they're going to be a good child before you love them, right? Come on, when that child, you have a child and you nurture that child and you're with that child and you're just going to wait a little while. You got to prove yourself first worthy of my love, right, kid? My kid's got to prove they're worthy of love before I love, right? Come on. You love that child, don't you? From the day it's born. Probably, and most of us, maybe you're like me, you talk to the belly. And you love the child even before it's born. Anybody did that besides me? You love that child even before it's born. That's what God does with us. He loved us first, which allows me to love others. See, he loved us first, and he cares for us. And look at what it says. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. I want to ask you, come back to my question, what's your greatest aim in life? Accomplishments, achievements, accumulations, success, victory, climbing the ladder, accumulating. What's your greatest aim in life? And it says, listen, let love. It starts with God. Let love be your greatest aim in life and pursue love. And look at the next one. Love is a choice and a commitment. Have you ever heard somebody say something along this line? Well, I fell in love with her. Or I fell in love with him. Anybody ever hear somebody talk like that? Like, love was that you're just walking down the road and phoom, you just stumbled in love. I want to tell you, you do not stumble in love, all right? You do not fall in love. Love is a choice. It's a commitment you make. It's not something that happens to you. See, you're in control of love, all right? We need to understand that. It's not that thing that just something out here that just kind of floats in and touches you. It's something that you're in control of. Look at what the Word of God says. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Choose. You choose to fall in love. It is a choice that we make. And that choice requires a commitment. All right? Now, I can have attraction. I can fall into attraction. I can fall into lust. All right? You guys are really quiet. But I don't fall into love. I make a choice. This is really important as we go through this definition of love. And what you need to understand is I choose who I love. I choose whether I want to love that guy on that bicycle or not. That's my choice, isn't it? It's up to me. I can say, I'm going to love that guy even though I think he's an idiot and I think he's dumb and I would run him over. Or I can stop and say, okay, Gary, are you going to let the love of God be seen through you today? It's my choice. I don't fall into it. It's not accidental. Here's what I'm saying. We're going to go through this 40-day study, and you need to understand it's going to be up to you to intentionally decide to love. As I go through this, one of the things, I'm going to talk about it later. Maybe I'll mention it now. You know, if all you're going to do is go through this study to say, I went through a study, I'm going to tell you, give it up. Because that's not what we're after. I'm not after, I just did the study. I can put a check mark, and I did it. I did another 40-day study. Whoopee. I want you to make a choice to be a loving person. Intentionally commit yourself to be a loving person. That's what I've got to do. I'm not there yet. I feel, you need to know, I feel I'm a pretty loving guy. Some of you know me, and you go, somewhat, right? I feel I do pretty good in this area. I love people. I love being around people. I love ministering to people. I love sharing with people. I really love all that until I get behind the steering wheel, okay? So there's an area I need to work in, isn't there? It says love in everything. It's a choice. I'm going to ask you, are you going to choose to become a loving person? It's your choice. You don't have to. It's not something God requires. That kind of brings me to my next point right here. Love is an action. Oh, let me look at the, yeah, we already read the scripture. Love is an action, not just an emotion. See, you choose it. It's not an emotion. You know, the ocean of emotion. It's not that. We're not going to float around on some love boat and see what happens. You know, it's not an emotion. See, if it was an emotion, you have no control. Okay, everybody be sad. Did that, anybody going to start crying now? I said be sad. Come on, cry. You can't control your emotions, do you? You ever sit there at a movie, this is embarrassing. You ever sit there at a movie and your wife looks over at you and goes, are you crying yet? I don't want her to know. Come on, I'm a man. I'm going to man up. I ain't going to let them know I'm crying. You know, it's like, you know. Because you can't control your emotion. How could God tell us to do something that we can't control? To sit there and say, I can't control my love is a lie. I can't control being sad. I can't control my emotions. You know, I'm watching Pollyanna, and yeah, I don't care how many times I see it. It gets to the end of the movie, and all those people start filing into the house and talking with her. That's hard. See, it's not an emotion. It's an action. Love is an action. Look at what the scripture says. My children, we should love people not only with words and talk, but by our actions and true caring. I think Christians talk a good talk, but walk a poor walk when it comes to love. We love those we like. We love those who are like us. We love those who we choose to love. But those who are hard to love, those who are dislikable and irritating, we let them go. But I want to challenge us because here's the key. Love is an action. It's not what I feel. Well, I feel like loving that person. Love's an action. And it's, again, I really, it's not this thing I fall into. It's something I work to create. When I liked Laura and I loved Laura and she and we started kind of seeing one another, I bought her things. I did things for her. You know, you get married and you don't do that anymore, right? You don't have to anymore. You know, you just got to do that so you get them hooked. And then once you hook them, you know, you're free from all that. That's the problem, all right? I think there's a lot of marriages like that. I really do. Sometimes I fall. You know, love for me is going to JCPenney's this week, sitting there while she's trying on a whole arm pile of clothes. That's not where I want to be. All right? Sitting there in the broken TV in their waiting room is not good. That love says, Gary, go to Penny's with me. And then you know what makes it even worse? Now, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. They'll ask you if you like it, and you tell them no, and they go buy it. Because they like it. Then you say you like that one, they go, oh, I don't like that one. Why do they want my opinion then? Love is an action. It's what you do. I don't believe you fall in love. I believe you did the things to build love. And the problem is, if you're out of love right now, you're not doing the things that built the love. See, love is an act. It's not just this emotion. I got the tingles when I get around her. It just feels so good when he's next to me. Ooh. He held my hand. That's not love. I don't know what it is, all right? But it ain't love. Love is an action. It's something you do. And the problem is most of us don't do it. Most of us Christians say we're loving, but we do nothing. I'm serious now. This is what this study is all about. I'm a loving person, but don't ask me to change. Don't ask me to walk across the street. Don't ask me to talk to that neighbor who I dislike. Don't ask me to go to that coworker who's a snot. Don't ask me to be nice to the clerk who's a jerk. Don't ask me to that waitress who can't even get my order straight. I'm a loving person, though. Are you? Let our actions show it. See, I'm trying to define love. It first begins with God, and it's based on that grace that God gives me that can live through me. It's not on this emotion, and it's a choice I make. And it's seen in my actions. And looking on down at the last one, it says this, love is a habit. Oh, let me read the scripture. I don't want to forget scripture. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourself have been taught by God to love each other. In fact, you do all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do it so what? More and more. That's what this study, we got to grow. I love Laura. We got married. She knows I love her. I've told her. When I said I do, I meant it. I'm done. Right? It's over. She knows it. I don't need to say anything anymore. I don't need to do anything anymore. When I said I do, that's all she needs to know. Would that be okay? I'm going to ask you, do you think Laura would buy that? Some of you are going, you wouldn't buy it, all right? I've got to do the things that mean it. Now let's look at love as a habit. I want to ask you, if I tell the truth 90% of the time, am I a truthful person? Come on now. 90% of the time I've told the truth. 90%. I'm a truthful person, right? Laura, I'm going to be faithful to you 6 days a week. I get one day I can do whatever I want, right? Yeah, I'm dead. If I'm going to be a loving person, it needs to be a habit. It can't be this occasional thing I do. I've got to have the habit of being a loving person. And that's a challenge. It's not a part-time thing. Love isn't something, oh, I'd love God on Sundays. I can do whatever I want on Mondays, right? Come on now. Yeah. Long as I checked in on Sunday with God, sung a few songs, heard the preacher preach, didn't do a good job, but I was there anyway. Now we get to go home and do whatever I want, right? Come on. See, it needs to be a habit. Love is something you do. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter when you feel like it or you don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they deserve. Look at what the word says. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Whoa. I can love people who love me. That's easy. That's not a problem. You know, what do you do when you're standing in the front of the churchyard and the lady sits there and goes, I hate you? She did. Front of the blue church. I hate you. It's like, okay. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I know some things. There's going to be some people who like me and some who don't. And I'm okay with that as long as you are. As long as you're okay with that. She ended up coming to church a few times. We ministered to her as a church, and Laura and I ministered her as a family, and all of that. That didn't bother me. There's going to be people that like me and people that don't. But you know what? I'm going to love them anyway. The ones that are hard to love, I'm going to tell you, I don't know why. The ones that are hard to love for me are stupid people. All right? I mean, the guy riding that bicycle was stupid. You know, that's what makes it hard to love. But you know what? I got to love everyone in everything. That's hard. It's got to be a habit. You know, here's another thing we as Christians sometimes do. This is what sets Christianity apart. And what's so sad is we practice this when it's not what God told us to do. It's not what Jesus did. Many religions practice religion by seclusion. The more you become religious, the more you seclude yourself. The closer you get to God, you live in a monastery. The closer you get to God, you live in celibacy. That makes you close to God. You got to seclude yourself. You got to separate yourself. And that's not what God said, is it? God says, I'm going into the marketplace. I'm going to the business. I'm going everywhere. You know, as Christians, if we say, I love everybody and I lock myself in my room, what am I doing? You know, I love everybody, but I'm a hermit. Is that what God called us to do? You know what's amazing to me? God could have sat there in heaven and says, I love you guys. I wish you well. I got my son up here. We're gonna pray for you while you're down there. I'll talk to myself. God could have said that. God could have sat there and said, I love you guys. I'm here for you. When you decide you want to come my way, go ahead. Maybe I'll reach out to you. While we were yet sinners, Jesus came. For God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. You can finish those scriptures yourself, but that's what he did. He could have just stayed in heaven and waited. See, we live in this, I don't think many of us believe we're holier than thou, but we live in our own holiness, our own little world, my little circle, my little life. And we think we're loving. I think that's a challenge. What about those who you dislike? What about that neighbor who is a pain? You know, when I was a kid, neighbors that were pain, we did all sorts of things. We hung dead fish on garage doors, threw great big pumpkins in driveways. I mean, you know, put rocks in hubcaps. You know, I was a normal teenage boy having fun, all right? That's what we did. I did the loving things, right? What about that neighbor that aggravates you? What about that coworker who just seems to make those snide comments? You know, that off the cuff. The one that kind of sneaks around behind your back and does you dirty. What about that father or mother that just wasn't really the father or mother you needed? Yeah, I'm not saying they were bad. They just weren't what you really needed. That aunt, that uncle, that relative, that brother, that sister. What about them? See, it's easy to love those who are loved, who love us. I've never forgot when I grew up, there was a man on the street down at the end of our neighborhood. Grouchy old man. Rotten. He was. We called him, now some of you might not know who this was, but we called him Khrushchev. And Khrushchev was that Russian leader at the time, and we called him Khrushchev. This guy was, he was just an old, rotten, just a rotten man, all right? That one night, somebody stole our mini bike, our little motorcycle, and guess who caught him? He did. Khrushchev caught him, all right? And saved our mini bike for us. But he was still a rotten guy. He was just cold. He was indifferent. He never really got out. Later in life, we were older and we were driving at the time. He had no family. He had nobody. And I can remember driving to the doctor's office that my brothers and I would go down the street to Khrushchev's house. We still called him Khrushchev. And we'd go down and pick him up and take him to the doctor because he had nobody. There was nobody else there. And that still sticks in my mind that here's this old man who we thought was, he was rotten. But once you got to know him, you're driving to the hospital, you get to talk to him and stuff. The barriers start coming down. You start hearing the stories of life and you get a different picture. It's amazing what love can do. Did you know that? You know, here we got this immeasurable, immutable God who loves us, that transforms our life because he loves us. Can our love, can God loving others through us transform their lives? Can God loving others through us change them? I believe it can. See, but we have to have the habit of love. You know, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how they live. It doesn't matter what they do. Do we love them? I think this is one of the great tragedies for the Christian faith. If I asked, do Christians love homosexuals, what would most of us say? If you ask a homosexual, what would they say? What do we feel about abortion? And what would we say? Do we have the habit of loving the abortionist doctors? Even though they're wrong, I'll say that here. Do we have the habit of loving the homosexual? Oh, we can't. They're sinners. It's an abomination. Now, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm going to ask you a question. When Jesus died on the cross, did he die for them? Does God love them? What should we do? See, this is my definition of love. I want you to look at that. Love, I love because God first loved me. All right? Love is a choice. It's a commitment. Love is an action, not just an emotion, and it's a habit. That's how I'm going to define love through this study. And I want you to be a part of that. Look at what God's word says. Continue to love each other with true Christian love. Continue. Make it a habit. Not just in good times, not when you feel like it, not when they're good to you, not when they're nice. Always love. And like I say, for me, I have no problem loving people. I love people. I've been criticized. I've been attacked. I've sat there and been abused. I mean, I could tell you all sorts of stories. People say all sorts of things to me. I'm sitting at a school board meeting, and they're just blasting me. You know, and it's like, I'm doing the best I can, you know. But I love everyone. I've never forgot as a parent, I was on the parents' club. And one of the parents comes up to me as we're dealing with some stuff. And we're trying to raise money for kids. And she goes, all I care about is my kids. And I'm sitting there going, that's so sad. Because I want all the kids to succeed. I want all the kids to do. And all she said, all I care about is my kids. Is it a habit? Do we continually love? But here's the challenge. Most of us are comfortable. Most of us are happy. Most of us are satisfied. You'll walk out of here. I'm unwilling to bet there are going to be some that walk out of here and just blow off what I said today. It's going to be, that's good. I'm going to do the study. I'll finish it. I'll make a check mark that I did it, and I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and just do. But here's my challenge. That's not what I want. My goal as a pastor, my goal as a minister is, I want you guys to become more like Christ. Because that's what I want. That's my heart's desire. I want to be involved in the transformational process of becoming like Christ. And that's my challenge to you. I want us to be more like him. And if we're created in his image, which is an image of love, we need to become more loving. I don't think, maybe you're here and you're satisfied. Maybe you've reached the pinnacle of love. I don't know. At least maybe you think you have. You know, that I'm a loving person. I show it when I can. I'm there and it's okay. But I want to challenge you to grow. I want to challenge you to move on. I don't want to stay where you're at. But I want you to know it too. And God's given us some ideas of what we can do. And here, look at the scripture. Test yourself to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not merely hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I love that. Are we taking our faith for granted? I'm cruising along as a Christian. I'm doing pretty good. I'm okay as a Christian. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not there, but I'm okay. Are you? So I got a test for you. Get it out. If you put it down, pick it up. All right? You're going to fill this out. All right? I'm serious. Don't look at me. I want you to fill this out. I want you to think about this. Here's a test. We're going to do this test at the end too, okay? So this is called a pre-test, and then we'll do a post-test. Man, you guys are smart, man. You guys are on it. All right? So here we go. How's your relationship with your parents? If a 1 is poor and a 9 is great, how you doing? All right? How's your relationship with your parents, okay? Yeah, what's going on there? Now listen, some of you are going to say, well, my parents are dead. All right? They have passed away. Well, how's that relationship? Is there an attitude? Is there some hard feelings? Is there some heartaches that you need to deal with? You know, even when people pass away, sometimes those hurts still are there. I've encouraged people, and I've had the experience where I've told people, you need to go to the cemetery and sit at the headstone and talk to it. Is there some things you need to drill with your parents? You need to know, you know, for me, I can't put a 9 there. I'd put a 7. My parents and I, we get along. There's not an issue. There's not a problem. But they live in one world, and I live in another world. I love my mom and dad. You need to know, I never told my dad, I never heard my dad say I love you till I was 39 years old. I knew he loved me. His actions demonstrated it. His attitude. I knew there was no doubt he loved me. Now, you know, as a kid, I had wondered. You know, the beatings kind of make you wonder sometimes. But I knew he did. But I was 39 years old when my brother committed suicide. And I decided, I got to tell my dad I love him. I had never said those words. I still never hug my dad. That's just not in our makeup. You know, 3 boys, you don't. I can give you a word, but I'm not going to say those words. That's just not me. But I have no problem with my brothers, my brother, my sister. So, I'd put a 7, but I couldn't put a 9. Now, listen, if you're married, don't fill this one out, all right? Please. Your marriage prospects. If you're married, don't go there. It looked bad, all right? It wouldn't look right. But if you're not married, what's your relationship like? What do you dream of? What do you want? What's your vision? And, those lines there are not just to connect things together. They're for you to write on, all right? Maybe you need to put a name there. Some of you have a potential marriage partner, somebody you want to love that you're working on, not just tingly feelings. Now, if you're married, how's your relationship with your spouse? Again, I'm going to be honest, you know, dragging me to Penny's and sitting there in the waiting room, in the dressing room, that's a waiting room. You know, that's, what is that? Dead man walking, all right? Yeah. Dead man walking through the women's clothes at JCPenney's. Even though they're on sale, $4.99, $5.99, it doesn't matter. Yeah. How's your relationship with your spouse? I'd probably give myself about a 6. All right? I can improve. I need to improve. I haven't bought Laura flowers in a long time. I think about that. Yeah. I used to, when we were dating, I had a really good job. I was assistant manager of a movie theater, and the store was across, and I made good money. I was, you know, I made really good money when I was 18 years old. And I was buying her all sorts. I bought her ivory and all sorts of stuff. I haven't bought any of that stuff in a long time. Matter of fact, Laura got a new diamond ring, and it was from her kids, not me. Yeah, I don't know. I got to work on that one, all right? That action part. Is there a relative? I want you to put a name. Is there a relative? Somebody, you know, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle? Is you know, how you doing? Generally speaking, maybe there's somebody specific you need to write down. Maybe you know, I don't know what it is. And is there a relative? I could write somebody down. I'm not going to tell you the name, but I could write somebody down. You know, they aggravate me. Just being around them makes me uncomfortable. Anybody in that boat? You know, that person just irritates me. Do I have to love irritating people? Is that part of everything? How about a coworker? Is there a coworker? How's your relationship at work? What's going on? A neighbor? You know, how's your neighbors? How about a different or difficult person? You got to love those too. You know, that jerk on the bicycle. And then I, just in case I didn't think of one that you need, I gave you a blank space. I didn't fill this out earlier, but I knew what I was going to write there. You know what I was going to write in that blank space for me? Anybody got an idea what I would write there? Driving. I'm serious. I was going to write driving or other drivers. That is a pain for me. I'm serious. I don't know why. I don't know why that's such a battle for me. But that is the hardest time for me in my relationship with God is when I get behind a steering wheel of a car. And I don't know why. And I shouldn't blow it off so easily, but I do sometimes. I don't know what you need to put in that blank. That's up to you. But I want you to fill this out, and I want you to put it in your Bible or put it so you can get it out, because at the end of the 40-day study, I want to pull it out. Okay, I want you to pull it out, and I want to compare, because it's not going to do us any good to go through this 40-day study and then get out the other end and go, well, I did it, if you don't change. All right? That's what it's all about. I mean, if I'm not changing, what good is it? And what difference does it make? And so put something on that blank. So what do you got to do to make this happen? I'm going to give you five quick things right here. One, two, three, four, five. Five quick things. I got to move on here. Five quick things. I must commit to growing. If you want to do this, you got to commit to growing. You can't just get into this study and say, I'm going to do it because the pastor said so. Even though you don't, I don't like him. I don't like the study. I don't like what he's done. I don't like how he's organized this. I don't like this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you, if that's your attitude, forget it. It ain't going to do you any good. I'm sorry, but it's not about me. It's all about him. Do you want to grow? You got to make that decision. It's your choice. Second, I learn from Jesus. I learn how Jesus did it. I'm going to imitate him. He set the standard. I'm going to ask you, how was Jesus' relationships? Did he have some people that hated him? Yeah, did he have some people that were disloyal? Stabbed him in the back? I think Jesus set a good example for us. And we're going to learn. That's what our study is going to be. I've got a book here you're going to get. Relationship Principles of Jesus. And it's a book that we're going to ask you to read. And again, it's like the 40. Anybody did the 40? How many here did the 40 Days of Purpose? Quite a few of you. And the 40 Days of Purpose, you read one chapter, and that's the same way this is set up. It's like one little chapter, about 5-6 pages every day, 40 days. And so it's the same thing. And we'll have these here next week for you, and we'll get you started reading them next week, and we'll have these out here. But, yeah, it's there for you to read. But we're going to learn from Jesus. Because here's my challenge. The Bible says, love Jesus with all your mind, all your strength. You know all those things that was sitting there? So I want to get all of you involved, not all of us. all of you. I want your eyes. I want your ears. I want your mouth. I want your hands and feet. I want all of you involved. I want your ears to hear the messages that we're going to be sharing. I want your eyes to read the book that we're going to read. I want your mouth to go to small group and discuss the lessons and what you read. I want your hands and feet to do the things, because it's not going to just be sit here and study, because we always do that. I'm going to give you some things to do. You're going to have to practice. Matter of fact, this next one says, I'm going to practice the skills. I'm going to challenge you to get out of the hermit mode and to get out and do some things that require love. And we're going to have some. How do you get skills? How do you become good at something? You practice it. You practice over and over and over. And pretty soon you get skilled at it. And so we're going to be challenging you to do some things. It's no good just to come and sit in a study. I used to do evangelism studies. Anybody been involved in churches? I know to do evangelism studies. How to be a witness and how to witness for God. And we study it. And then we go out and do nothing. But we know it. I got it. I know how to do it. But I just don't do it. Well, you're not going to just not do love. We're going to have some fun with that. And then it's going to have to develop some habits. That's why it's 40 days. Most habits take 20, 21 days to form. So you're going to get twice as much. So it really becomes ingrained in you. And so we're going to have 20 times as much. And then I need to trust God to help me. I'm going to tell you, I will not become a loving person by working hard at being a loving person. That's not going to happen for Gary. All right? I'm just not going to work hard. Gary, struggle hard. Gary, be a more loving person. Gary, when you get behind that wheel of the steering car, be a more loving person. Gary, be more patient. Gary, just work to be loving, Gary. Slow down a little bit, Gary, and you'll be a loving person. I'm just going to work harder. It's not going to happen. In order for me to become a more loving person, I got to let God love others through me. That's the challenge. I got to let God love others through me. I got to trust God to help me. God, I can't do this. I can't. And so, God, you got to help me love others. And I got to trust God. Don't think we're going to finish this saying you're just going to work harder at it and you're going to be a more loving person. I think the challenge for me, and this is something that really bears on my heart, if I say I love God and I don't love others, do I really love God? And I don't mean love others like a few people. The Bible says, in everything, show love. And that means to everyone. Do I love others? And I want to challenge us. And I want to challenge you. Look at what it says here in the scripture. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more. That you will have knowledge and understanding with your love. Do you want your love to grow more and more? Are you satisfied? I love God, that's all. You know what tragedy thing I hear? All I need is God. I've heard that from several, even people who are committed Christians. All I need is God. I'm going to tell you. That's not what God says. That's not what God says. God says, he looks down at man, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. We need each other. Love God. Love others. So I'm going to be challenging you through the next week. As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment. I got some commitment cards here. The ushers are going to pass out a few commitment cards right now, and I want you to look at these with me. I want you to think about this. Are you willing to have your love grow more and more? Do you want to be a more loving person? Now, I was going to say it this way, but I was afraid some of you might take it wrong. I want to be a great lover. But I was kind of afraid what some of you might think. Because I know where your minds are, all right? When I say I want to be a great lover, I think some of you are going, yeah, Gary, we know, yeah. You know, I know what you guys think. Some of you are turning red. Yeah, I can hear you, see it. Yeah. But do you want to be a great lover? Let's make it this way. Do you want to be a good lover? Let's say it that way, okay? Let's say it that way. Because see, here's the problem. Most songs you hear today, most love songs you hear today, anybody hear love songs today? See, I grew up with love songs was the Beatles, I Just Want to Hold Your Hand. Anybody remember that one? Yeah. Now these love song is, I want to go to bed with you. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it. There's a song out there like that. The song says, if you don't give it, I'm going to take it. You know, and they just said, love is sex. Well, love is not sex, all right? That's lust. And that's, God has a place. I'm going to have to preach a series of messages on sex. I think I will one of these days. And just kind of put it in its proper perspective for us. But that's not love. But I want to challenge to be a good lover. So I want you to look at this card with me. I got to get mine out. I brought one up here. I want you to look at it. If you're willing to, and I'm going to take you to, I'm not going to ask for these today. You need to know that. I want you to pray about this because I want this to be serious. This is not a game. We play a lot of games in our life. Some of us play games with love. All right? But I don't want this to be a game. I want this to be something you really want. I will listen here. I will listen to all 7 messages in the 40 Days of Love series. Okay, if you're willing to, now listen, if you can't be here, they're going to be on the internet. You can go to the internet. You can listen, you can print the flyer. You can print this little folder. It'll be on the internet. You can push a button and it'll print. And you can listen to the messages. They're going to be on there for downloadable. They're going to be podcasts. We've fine-tuned. We're working on getting all that done for you. So if you miss a Sunday, there's no excuse. Okay? I'm going to read the daily chapter of the Relationship Principles of Jesus. I want to challenge you. 5 minutes, 6 minutes, most of them are 4 or 5 pages long. I think most of them are really short. I haven't read it yet. You need to know. I've had the book. I bought this book off of eBay, and then I bought a whole bunch for you guys. And I haven't read it. I've glanced through it, but I want to read it with you. It's not. I don't want to jump ahead. I want to read it with you. And so I'm going to be just like you every day. You know, I didn't want to read ahead and say, well, I already did it. No, that's not what I want to do. So I'm going to read it every day. I'll invite a few friends to join a group with me. Boy, there's a lot of spelling mistakes in that line. Phew, I don't know how I did that. I invite a few friends. I'll invite a few. Will you invite some friends? All right, I want to challenge you. It's not just about you. Love says, I love everyone. Is there some people you need to invite? A neighbor, a coworker, a relative, a spouse, a parent? Is there somebody you need to invite? If you look in your folder, I think, didn't I have a invitation thing in your worship folder? Some tips? I think there was a little green card or something in your worship folder on tips to invite. Wasn't that? Didn't I put that in there? I thought I did. And so give you some ideas there. Discuss. I'll meet weekly with a small group, home, work, or campus. I've challenged everybody to start a group. We got another young group coming up. I've got several other groups going. I'm going to be in a group. I got a group on Monday night, Tuesday night. I'm going to take Wednesday night with the youth, with Crystal. I'm just going to sit down and watch Crystal. I'll be in my office while they're in my living room. So I'm not going to do that. Then I have a group on Thursday. I'm going to have fun because the more I hear, it gives me ideas when I get to preach. You guys can help me. Remember, I'll carry the weekly memory verse with me. Ooh. I was going to keep that a secret. Yeah, I'm going to give you memory verses every week. Don't get scared, but I want you to memorize the Bible. All right? There's a passage that you need to have. Let me give you one now to start with. It's not on the screen, and I want you to write it down. It's John 13:35. You want to kind of jump ahead. It's not one of the ones you're going to memorize, but you need to memorize this. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Ooh. It is a... They know you're a Christian because you went to church on Sunday. Your car's out of your driveway. All right, they know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a Christian because I can quote the books of the Bible. I know them all in order. Remember, so we're going to have that. I'll practice the action steps Pastor Gary gives us. You might not like Pastor Gary, but I'm going to tell you what to do. All right. So I'm going to ask you to take it home. I want you to pray about this because I don't want this to be, yeah. This is what Gary wants us to do. We're going to do it. This is what our church is doing. Yeah. We're going to do it because our church is doing it. That's not what I'm after. Do you really want to grow in love? It's a choice. It's your choice. God first loved us, and he's called us to love one another. your greatest aim in life. I mean, I've really never thought about it this way until I read this lesson. I'm serious. I really never thought about the greatest aim in life is love. I always thought those were commands. But that's really the aim. My aim in life should be to love God and love others. Boy, that's it. Life is not complicated. Life isn't hard. I didn't say life isn't difficult, though, because it can be. But it's all about love. Bottom of your paper, I wrote it real simple like this. I choose to be a more loving person. Will you? It's your choice. We're going to have a great 40 days. I am excited about it. I mean, I've looked through the material. I've watched Rick Warren, the DVD Rick Warren's going to be teaching. It's going to be awesome. We are going to have a great time. The question is, will you? I am. It's going to be fun. If you need a group, talk to Lance. You want to plug in, be a part. But I'm going to lay it in your lap. It's your choice. You just don't.